Welcome to those that are joining us for the Shir. Asor B'Teves, Tovshin Samach Zayin. Being that the Yortzeit of Rav Nosson Zal is on Asor B'Teves, we'd like to dedicate this Shir to speaking about him with the thought that in speaking about him, everything we discuss should serve as an inspiration and encouragement for each and every one of us who would like to be in the category of a true student of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. In the Sefer Avoneho Barzel, which is one of the sections of the Sefer Koich Vayor, which has many stories about Rabbi Nachman and his students, we're told that even while he was a small child, he already started thinking about and feeling the significance of Tachlis. Rav Nosson Zal would sit with his grandfather, Rabbi Yitzchak Danzig, in the Mizrach, in the front of the shul, and he knew all the elderly people that sat there. They all liked to play with him and talk to him. And one day, one of them passed away, and Rav Nosson Zal was wondering, where is he? How come he's not coming anymore? So he asked his grandfather, who told him that this person unfortunately passed away. So Rav Nosson Zal asked him, what does that mean? What does it mean, died? And his grandfather tried to explain it as one would explain to a child. And then Rav Nosson Zal asked him, what do they do with the body afterwards? So he told him that they dig a deep hole in the ground and they put him inside and they cover it with earth. And from that time on, Rav Nosson Zal was wondering, what is this? This is the culmination of the whole physical life? This is how it all ends? And from that point on, he started thinking, so is this, could this be the tachlis, just to feed the body, just to nourish the body? And he began to search, to really try to understand properly, what is the tachlis of man? What's the real purpose of our physical life in this world? And Rav Nosson Zal said that from that day on, as a child, this question was always ringing in his ears, and he still has this question. Is this the tachlis of all of Olam Hazeh, of a person's physical life? And is this life? And I was privileged to hear my rabbi, Rav Michal Dorfman, Zichron Evrocha, say that because Rav Nosson Zal had this question burning inside of him from his youth, anyone that reads his Sforim, the Likutei Halachos, the Likutei Tfilos, the other Sforim, sees that every page of his teachings is crying out with this question, enlightening a person as to what their real purpose is in life, and giving inspiration and encouragement to fulfill their true mission in life, which is to serve Hashem. On one occasion, when Rav Nosson Zal was sitting with the students of the Baal Shem Tov from Lav HaMalka, they drew lots to see who would go out and get bagel for them. And Rav Nosson Zal was the one who was picked a lot for him to go. So he went out, and while he was going to the store to get it, he felt a tremendous bitterness because of all the ups and downs that he was going through, despite the fact that he had already started tasting from different Hasidic Rabbonim leaders, and he had Hirhurei Tshuva, but still, he started thinking to himself, when am I going to really feel that I'm getting somewhere? Is this what Hashem created me for, to go buy bagels? And he couldn't pick himself up. And this was at the time when the light of the Baal Shem Tov was starting to diminish a little bit. The tremendous fire that the Baal Shem Tov had lit in his students and the people that he had affected wasn't anymore at full strength. And Rav Nosson Zal had many aliyas and yuridos, ups and downs, and he didn't know how to deal with it. So Rav Nosson Zal decided to make a detour. This was Motzoi Shabbos, well after the time that the tefillah had ended, and he started saying Tehillim. He said the first 50 chapters, and each pasuk that he said, he felt tremendous pain to the point where he became so overcome that he fell to the ground from weakness, and he fell asleep, and he had a dream. In this dream, he saw a ladder, feet were on the ground, and the top of the ladder reached all the way up to the sky. He started climbing this ladder, he went up a few steps, and then he fell. Then he got up on the ladder again, went up a few steps more, and fell again. And this happened time after time. And each time when he fell a longer distance. And then he would climb up and go higher than he had been before. And then at one point he fell, and the fall was so hard that he couldn't pick himself up. And at this point, a young man approached him in his dream and said to him in Yiddish, drop a sich und halt sich, meaning, keep trying, and hang in there. And this was approximately a year before he met Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Afterwards, when he met Rabbi Nizal, he recognized that this was the man who had told him in his dream, drop a zich and halt zich. Rabbi Nosanzal's close friend and chavrusa, Rabbi Lipa, went to see Rabbi Nizal for a Shabbos. And this was right before Slichas, preceding Rosh Hashanah. When Rabbi Lipa came back after that Shabbos, on Saturday night, Motzoi Shabbos, when they were all saying the first Slichas, Rabbi Nosanzal watched Rabbi Lipa, and he saw that he was saying the Slichas and the additional Tfilos, the Anenu afterwards, with tremendous Kavona, putting everything he had into it. And both Rabbi Nosanzal and Rabbi Naftali, his close friend, were tremendously impressed, because this Rabbi Lipa had been a chosid for many years, and they had seen that he had cooled off in many things. His tefillah wasn't that warm anymore, but they saw that after having spent this Shabbos in Breslov, they saw that he came out like a brand new person. So they decided to travel there. They rented a wagon. They met another person, Reb Leibish, who also wanted to go with them, and they traveled together. And when they came in to Rabbi Nizal for the first time, each one of them mentioned his heritage, his yichus. Rabbi Naftali Zal was a grandson of the Skolya Rebbe. Reb Leibish also had special yichus. And when Rabbi Nizal heard, he commented, Gola Guti Yidin, all great, great tzaddikim. When Rabbi Nosanzal commented to Rabbi Nosanzal that he's a little bit related to him via his father-in-law, Mechutonim with Rabbi Nachman Horodenka, which was Rabbi Nosanzal's grandfather, then Rabbi Nosanzal made a slight joke, now I'm not alone anymore. And Rabbi Nosanzal said to him, we know each other for a long, long time. It's just been a while since we've seen each other. And then Rabbi Nosanzal told three stories, which were to serve as a foundation for his new students. The first story was about one of the leading tzaddikim that had passed away a short while before, Reb Mordechai Neshchiz, that one time one of his students came to him and was pouring out his heart about how much he's struggling with parnosa, can't cover his rent, and Reb Mordechai Zal said to him, I want the entire building to be yours. This person lived in a large building with several different neighbors. And also this building had an inn in it where people would come and eat and stay over. When the student returned home afterwards, a short while later, the owner of the building died and his inheritors took over. And the building started deteriorating tremendously. People who had purchased the building from the inheritors passed away and the building got a bad name. And the neighbors decided to try to sell the building and nobody was willing to buy because of the bad name that the building had. And each time they kept lowering the price until it reached such a low price that this person reminded himself of the words of his rabbi. He decided he went ahead and bought the building. He fixed up the place, and this student became wealthy. A short while later, he traveled to his rabbi to visit him, and when he was about to leave his rabbi to return home, he went to say goodbye to his rabbi. The rabbi wasn't saying goodbye to him. He wasn't giving him permission to leave, as he did usually. So the student felt that obviously the rabbi is giving him a message. So he stayed, and this happened several times. Each time he would go in to mention to the rabbi that he was going to be traveling back to his hometown, the rabbi wouldn't release him. And he ended up staying there for 13 years. And Rabbi Nizal commented that when he had gone to visit this tzaddik, Rabbi Mordechai Neshchiz, when he was very, very ill, right before he passed away, Rabbi Nizal met this person, this student. And the student had been very afraid that he shouldn't die like previous owners who had taken over this building had died, more than one. Rabbi Nizal visited with the Rabbi Mordechai Neshchiz for a few days, and a short while later he passed away. And at that point, once the rabbi passed away, the student decided now he can go home. And he passed away a short while afterwards. And Rabbi Nizal wanted to have Rabbi Nosanzal, Rabbi Naftali Zal realize how serious they should focus on every word that the Rebbe would say, even things that didn't pertain directly to Torah, to watch every word that he said and any hint even that he would give to make sure to take it seriously, because nothing is simple. The next story that he told over was about one of the students of Reb Shneir Zalman Miladi, who was the Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rabbi Nizal told him that he had a student who lectured for 8 years of new revelations in Torah based on one Dvar Torah that he had heard from the Bala Tanya. And with this, Rabbi Nizal was again hinting to Rabbi Nosanzal that he would be able to derive many, many chidushim from each one of Rabbein Azal's teachings. The third story is about the Hiskarvus of Reb Michal Mizlatshuv to the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Michal from the city of Zlatshuv was himself a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a Yirei Shamayim, and the first time he came to see the Baal Shem Tov, he felt a tremendous awe and a deep respect. But then somehow it faded, and he started thinking, who knows, maybe he's not really such a great tzaddik, maybe he's an Amoritz. And we know the Gemara says that an Amoritz, when he first meets a Talmud Chacham, appears to him as if he's a golden vessel. Then a short while later, he doesn't respect him that much anymore. He becomes like a vessel of silver, then copper, then clay, and then like a broken piece of clay that has no value at all. So while the Reb Michal Mizlatshuv was standing near the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov grabbed his lapel and said to Michala, "Bist Amoritz? Are you an Amoritz?" Obviously, the Baal Shem Tov had read his thoughts and saw what was going through his mind. And when Rabbeinu Zal told this story to Rav Nosson Zal, it was the exact same situation, that while Rav Nosson Zal was standing in the presence of Rabbeinu Zal, somehow this thought went through his mind. Who knows, maybe he's not that great. And Rabbeinu Zal grabbed his arm and said to Rav Nosson Zal, "Michal, bist Amoritz?" And he actually had read Rav Nosson Zal's mind. So Rav Nosson Zal was obviously in tremendous awe of this, seeing that every thought of his Rabbeinu Zal knew, and that was the beginning of a deep relationship between these two outstanding tzaddikim. A short while later, because they had heard that Rabbeinu Zal spoke a lot about Rosh Hashanah, that the most important time of the year for a student to be with his Rebbe is Rosh Hashanah, they realized that they weren't going to stay there for the next 8 days, so they went home, they returned home, and made plans immediately to come back for Rosh Hashanah. When Rav Nosson Zal arrived for Rosh Hashanah, he saw people who were davening with tremendous kavona, and he felt jealous of them because he wasn't there yet. Afterwards, he heard Rabbeinu Zal deliver the chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Hey, chapter 5 in the first half of Likutei Moran, Bachatzot Zrois, and Rav Nosson Zal commented that he couldn't really comprehend the vast majority of what's written in that Torah, but the thing that he felt went deep into his heart was Rabbeinu Zal's interpretation of the pasuk Oizen Shomas Tochachas Chaim Bekerev Chachomim Tolen. Rabbeinu Zal explained there that one of the reasons why sometimes there's conflict and controversy among tzaddikim, where it appears as if they're in major disagreement and battle against each other, is so that those people who watch this and who hear this should realize that the fact that they're witnessing a conflict among tzaddikim implies that there's certainly things that they have to do tshuva for, rather than the person judging the tzaddikim and thinking that they're wrong, they're making a mistake. Bekerev chachomim tolin, when a person sees tlunot, disagreements among chachomim, among tzaddikim, ozen shomas tochachas chaim, the person hearing this and witnessing this should accept it as a life-giving rebuke, as an inspiration for the person to do tshuva. And Rav Nosson Zal said that he needed to hear that very, very much in order to answer the question, his father-in-law's question, about the conflict among the leaders of the Hasidim. Then, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Rav Nosson Zal went into Rabbeinu Zal to speak to him privately, and he poured out his heart to him completely. He told him everything about himself and everything he was going through. And Rabbeinu Zal gave him different pieces of advice regarding all the different issues that he brought up. And then Rabbeinu Zal said, in conclusion, "Un weiter is git, as meretzich ois des harz faren ebishter, as zoi vi fra gitten emesem freind." And also, it's very good if a person pours out his heart to Hashem, speaks to Hashem in his own words, as one would speak to a real good best friend. And it's interesting to note that these words were said to Rav Nosson Zal, sort of without Rabbeinu Zal spelling it out clear, that this is the most important advice of all. Rabbeinu Zal said that, by the way, in addition, it's also very good if you do this. And this is one of the examples where Rabbeinu Zal understood that if he were to make it too obvious as to how significant this is, how important this is, then the Yetzer Hara would do everything in his power to block Rav Nosson Zal and to prevent him from getting it and from doing it. And by Rabbeinu Zal presenting it in this way, a person with the proper sincerity would get the message and would try it and do it and would achieve the awesome success that Rav Nosson Zal did in all areas, especially in this area of tefillah. Two important notes on this topic. One of Rav Nosson Zal's closest students, Rav Nachman Tolchina Zal, had once worked the entire day before Sukkos in building the sukkah for Rav Nosson Zal, because he would actually eat together with him on Sukkos. And when they sat down to eat in the sukkah, Rav Nachman Tolchin made a comment that when a person works all day building a sukkah, then they feel a different tam coming into the sukkah. Rav Nosson Zal looked at him with a smile and said, "But this you haven't tasted yet, what it is to cry out to Hashem, to beg Hashem for an entire day, Hatimeni tam sukkah. Hashem, please help me be zeicha to feel what a sukkah is, to be able to have my neshama really, really experience everything that sukkah is all about." And from this we see a tiny inkling as to Rav Nosson Zal's deep, deep understanding of tefillah and how a person's approach to every facet of Yiddishkeit is only if it's preceded and followed and mixed with a lot of tefillah. As we find, Rav Nosson Zal once said, at the conclusion of one of his very, very inspiring shiurim to his students, he said after the shiur that our words, if you don't blend them with a lot of hispoidedus, heaven help you. Implying that as much as a person can hear a shiur at Dvar Torah at times that they feel is very inspiring, unless the person davens to Hashem with tremendous sincerity, begging Hashem to be able to feel the words, and the words should go deep into their heart and be indelibly inscribed. They shouldn't forget it, and they shouldn't lose that inspiration that they're feeling. I hope that Mirtz Hashem in the future at some point will continue. This is just a tiny beginning of the awesome life story, and especially the Hiskarvus of Rav Nosson Zal to his great rabbi Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal taught us that mentioning the name of a tzaddik, just as when we mention the name of any person, included in their name is everything about that person. So Rabbeinu Zal said that whenever we mention the name of a tzaddik, we're awakening the merit, the schus, of everything that tzaddik has done during his lifetime. Shem should help that we should be zecher tzaddik levrocha, that the mentioning of a tzaddik should be a brocha to all of us. And the true tzaddikim should be melitzei toiv. They should be our defenders in the heavenly court. And in their schus, we should be zeichet to see the rebuilding of the third and final Beis HaMikdash with the coming of Moshiach, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yamein.